Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 157 of Nerd Pride Radio. 157 is a really boring number. It's a prime number, and then it's, you know, it's got all sorts of, it's an unbalanced prime, it's a, you know, it's part of a prime triplet, it's got all these little prime facts about it. Maybe the most interesting thing about it is that back in 1936, the record for the discus throw was 157 feet, set by Ken Carpenter. Does that count as interesting? I got nothing on 157. So instead, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week is, it's Aiden. Hi, Aiden.
Hi, Dad.
Yay, he's not really a co-host, he's just sitting on the couch.
I'm coming over, I just had to check something.
He's just sitting on the couch.
Hey.
But, you know what? I don't have any prep going on at all, so let's go into what I'm pretending is the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This would be the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And as you may or may not have noticed, I'm recording late. I didn't record Sunday night like I normally do. We were out camping, had lots of scout stuff afterwards. It was weird. I am recording today because I'm home. I'm off for the day because it is Columbus Day today. Or, depending on what part of the country you live in, maybe it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Either way, I've got the day off. And so, you would think I'd be more prepared having a whole day off. But I'm not. So when I say the best off of my master list, I'm telling you, I made up my new pocket mod last week. I'm going straight off of this master list, and we're just going to read them raw right out of the booklet here. So, well, okay, except Aiden thinks he's got a topic to start us off with.
Can I ask you a very serious question, Mike?
Yeah.
In what universe is it possible for a country to have a clown problem?
It's a clown problem. Well, funny you should mention that. Right here in the middle of my master list, I have the word clowndemic because when the clown issue first came up, I thought to myself, wow, it's like a clowndemic. And then I was so happy with myself with that word, I thought, you know what? I should talk about it on the podcast just so I can call this episode clowndemic. And then I thought, better than that, oh, you know how I mentioned I don't like reskinned versions of board games? I don't like it when they come out with a new version of the same board game just with a different theme or name on it.
How do you think you got R2, though?
Right, well, exactly. And, you know, how much would I love the Call of Cthulhu Pandemic game? But I then thought, you know what? I would love to see Pandemic reskinned as Clowndemic. I would love to see Invasions of Clowns. I think...
Or like your game... Mostly dead, except instead of turning into zombies, you turn into clowns.
Oh, see, that would annoy me.
What would it?
Yeah. But here, pandemic, clowns work for me. I'm good with that. All right. Although whenever I think zombie clown, I think of Zombieland.
Oh, great movie.
You know, what's up with this clown?
Oh!
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. look, here's the thing with the clown invasion. We had a clown invasion in the 80s, too, when there were suddenly all sorts of clown sightings and people were worried because clowns were luring kids off into the woods and that it was, you know, everyone was afraid that it was some sort of, you know, pedophile invasion. As it's not. It's not. Clowns make the news. And so what we have is a few people who are out there dressed up as clowns in order to just be creepy. They think it's funny to go out and be creepy, and so they do it. Because it's a low-risk thing, or at least it started off as a low-risk investment, because dressing up as a clown and walking around in public is not illegal. So you dress up as a clown, even a scary, creepy clown, and you walk around in a public place, you're not doing anything you can get arrested for in most places. The worst that's going to happen is people are going to yell at you, or in some communities, apparently people are now willing to take their guns to clowns.
Yeah, some people have legalized clown shooting.
Oh, but it's a low-risk activity, so you get some people doing this because they think it's funny. And some of them escalated it to terroristic threats. There was a clown that walked up to a school and posted a note on the door that says, "Cancel Halloween this year or kids will die." And that was someone that now they've crossed the line into illegal activity once they start posting terror threats. But in general, it's mostly harmless people. Even that, it's not someone who was intending to do anything. It's someone who thought they were just being scary and they want to.
I mean, they were being scary. Yeah. They were terrified.
but the other side of the clowndemic, as it is officially known now, clowndemic 2016. The other part of the clowndemic is that once there are sightings of clowns, even just
it
a few.
It incites more clowns.
More people now get the idea that, ooh, wouldn't this be creepy if we did it in our community? But also, it's really, really easy to just say you saw a clown. All right. Little kids are easily confused and will interpret things however happens. And so you get
however
kids.
You really want them to.
You get kids reporting clowns that never saw clowns. And you get a lot of teens and young adults who will report seeing clowns in their area because, again, low risk activity. If you make up a clown sighting, well, suddenly you get interviewed by the local media, and suddenly you have this really fascinating story to tell everybody, and you get to be the center of attention for a while. And guess what? Super low risk, because who's going to call you out as a liar? Who's going to be able to prove that you didn't see a clown? I mean, I saw a creepy clown at the edge of that parking lot, but then he ducked behind a building, and that's all you have to say. There's no one can prove that you didn't see a clown. And so there's lots of false clown reports, and also a lot of people who sincerely thought they might have seen a clown, much the way people are positive they've seen UFOs or ghosts, or people interpret fuzzy situations in whatever way is most readily comes to mind. So it's, you know, it's happened before. It'll happen again. It'll probably be over by Halloween or a little after Halloween, once it gets a little too cold to start dressing up as a clown and going outside. But what? Yes, you have your hand up?
And, you know, I just want to interject here saying that as one of the rare few people who aren't afraid of clowns, and I find clowns to be genuinely funny when they're actually being clowns, as you're talking about this, every time you say the word clown, a jolly man in a red wig pops up in my head.
Right.
And I can't imagine how this is a problem.
See, this is Kaz has been posting the same kind of stuff. Kaz has been talking about how much he misses having Bozo the Clown on in the morning before school. I mean, when we grew up, there were clowns on TV because they were entertainers and they were funny. And
right.
And yes, there's always been people scared of clowns, but which also brings up the fact that there, even with this spate of clown sightings, there are lots of people claiming that the clowns are trying to lure kids away, initially luring them away with candy, or
you can't lure kids away with clowns anymore. Kids are terrified
right,
of clowns.
Or luring kids with their clowniness, or with cold hard cash, possibly. But either way, they're all scary, creepy clowns. What child abductor in their right mind dresses up as a horror movie monster in order to lure kids into the woods? No one's fallen for that.
That's stupid. That's like the xenomorph from Alien going, "Hey, you want to go pet my cat? Get in my van."
Okay, but here's the best part. You weren't here for this because you didn't go camping with us this weekend.
Were there clowns at camping?
Okay, there was one scary clown who was handing out candy, and she was. It was funny.
She?
Yeah, it was a girl in a scary clown costume, and she was at one of the campers, and she was handing out candy to the trick-or-treat. Oh, all right, when we go camping every October, this is something that my sister-in-law arranges, and we go camping at Ponca State Park in Nebraska, and Ponca State Park has this huge Hallowfest, Halloween festival, and one of the things that happens is when you go to the circles where all the campers are, that where they have the pads and they pull in with the electrical and the water and they've got their whole hookup thing. There's a contest for decorations, and so everyone dresses up their campers, and there will be haunted mazes and haunted graveyards, and there will be all sorts of Halloween decorations all over, and it happens every single weekend in the month of October. And so we went just this last weekend, and it was all dressed up, and part of the tradition then is Saturday night, every single weekend, Saturday night, all the kids that are camping out there get up in their Halloween costumes and they go trick-or-treating around the circle of campers. And you go to every camper and you see the haunted houses and all the scary decorations and you get candy. And it's a really cool event. And so one of the women that was sitting out handing out candy just happened to be dressed up as a scary clown, which creeped out some of the kids, but not enough that they didn't go up and get candy.
Did so, Noah take it well?
Oh, yeah. Noah didn't care. He was fine. But
or is it Eli that's creeped out by clowns?
Eli wasn't going to go trick-or-treating anyway. He's a teenager now. He's way too sophisticated for that.
He's too school for cool, man.
That's right. But the best part was listening to some of the little kids, and I'm talking the 9 and under set, hearing them talk about clowns because they overhear the adults talking about the clown invasion because everyone's talking about it. And you listen in on these kids talking amongst themselves and insisting that, no, I swear, clowns are real.
Clowns. Confirmed, clowns are mythical creatures, people.
That's my point, is to these kids who, many of them have never been to a circus, and clowns on TV are no longer a thing.
I mean non-scary clowns.
Right, well, you're right. And so,
scary clowns are all over TV.
So, yeah. For them, the primary context for clowns is the scary type of clown in all sorts of media. So to them, clowns are like telling them that werewolves are real. It's a mythical monster. And they were arguing about whether or not clowns were real. And the adults all had a great laugh about this. And we had to step in and explain to them that, well, of course they're real. They're people dressed up in clown costumes. And they're like, well, no, we're talking about real clowns. Like, to give them the backstory of this, you would have to explain the history of clowns and that, you know, clowns used to just be people dressed up in funny costumes to entertain people. They were supposed to be funny.
They don't actually have big red noses.
It was such a surreal moment to realize that to them it's just a mythical creature. It was awesome. So awesome I couldn't stand it. We had so much fun with this.
It's sort of like in any Godzilla movie that was made after the first one, where they live in a universe where no Godzilla movie exists. or any zombie movie.
I was just going to say, or for example, The Walking Dead, where The Walking Dead takes place in a world where zombie movies never existed.
The concept of zombies is just mind-blowing. No one's ever heard of a zombie.
That's why, as you wander across the landscape, every community has to come up with their own name for them, because no one's ever heard the word zombie in the Walking Dead universe. All right. As long as I'm talking about camping, the next thing I'm going to bring up on my list is a bizarre chain of consciousness that happened. Oh, this, by the way, this is just a fingertips episode. I'll run the music. Hold on.
Fingertips.
Because I'm just going to race through this whole thing. So, fingertips is just disjointed thoughts coming straight off of my master list without me doing a whole lot of prep for them. The next thing on here is we had this awesome conversation that started with my wife's cousin Matt, who is, I think, well, he's a lot younger than I am. I think he's about 30-ish. Matt went out camping with us at Ponca. This is his first year joining the group. We had nine families. There was like 40-something people out there, and we had a great time. But this was Matt, and he's got a wife and two little kids, and this was their first year joining us for the big family campout thing. And Matt, I did not realize, is a stargazer, and he brought along his massive telescope. And when he found out that I also had an interest in stars, it was just like every other fanatic with a telescope I've ever met they're just so thrilled that someone will show an interest that, oh my God, I can sit here and talk about stars forever and not feel like I'm a giant nerd. Because, you know, normally you get your telescope out. Apparently I don't have my own telescope at this point, but you get your telescope out and you invite people over and, oh my God, you've got to come see this. Take a look at this. And then they'll look through it and they'll go, oh yeah, that's great. What am I looking at? And then you explain what it is and they're like, oh, all right, cool. Uh-huh. And then they're ready to walk away. As opposed to people like Matt who can, you know, pack all of his heavy clothes so he can go out on a freezing night and he can sit there and watch the stars for like 4 hours straight, because he loves doing that and he was so passionate about it. And so, he and I got to talking about it and I shared my experiences and I know, a bit more of the planetary science behind stuff because I'm really into those sorts of articles, but he was able to show me stuff through the telescope that I'd never seen before. We were looking at the Horseshoe Nebula, which I've never seen, and I can see that for the first time. The Andromeda Galaxy. This is the first time I've actually looked at a galaxy through a telescope powerful enough to see a galaxy. It was cool stuff. And he got lined in with we had a really good shot of the moon that, especially we had a half moon going. And so if you look at the moon right on the dividing line between the light side and the dark side, the craters right there at the edge are all highlighted in stark relief because of the shadows coming at them sideways. It was gorgeous. I mean, I've looked at the moon through a telescope before, but I've never had this view of it, and it was just amazing. So anyway, got to show the kids some of this as well, and it then led to a conversation. We were talking about, because they were asking about different features on the moon and what are the names of some of those things. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know any of the names of anything. So the only thing I know is the Sea of Tranquility, and I don't even know for sure what it looks like or if we even saw it tonight. And so Noah starts asking me about the name Sea of Tranquility. And after I explain, he goes, oh, so it just means Ocean of Peacefulness? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but it's not an ocean. I'm like, no, of course not. But where do you find oceans? And they said, well, on Earth. And I said, and? They said, oh, that's right, Europa. This is Noah and Eli were both having this conversation with me. And they're like, Europa. I'm like, yes, Europa. And then one more. And they had no idea. So, okay, one of the moons of Saturn, Enceladus. It's not a big moon-girdling ocean like Europa is, but it does have huge ocean underneath a crust of ice in much the same way as Europa. And so, okay, that was really cool. And then the conversation got to, well, why haven't we sent probes up there? And I'm like, well, people are talking about it. This is one of the things that they really want to do, because now that we've got the latest Jupiter mission has been able to see actual plumes of water coming up. So we know from the water geysers there that we have liquid water underneath the ice, which we've always known that there's liquid water, but this is the first actual confirmation of liquid water. And so they're like, well, why aren't we getting out there now? And I said, well, here's the problem, is that, you know, we know that there are microorganisms from Earth that will survive anything. We've had them on the outsides of spaceships, and they survive the rigors of space, come back, and once they're back in the atmosphere, oh, they're fine, walking around again. Yeah.
I read an article about if the sun disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And as Earth would be flying through space, and 100 years later, it's just like 2 miles of ice over all the oceans. Deep sea microbes that run on, instead of photosynthesis, they run on chemosynthesis. Their cycle of food is complete without the sun.
Nice.
So they'd be able to travel for billions of years.
Uh-huh, yes, until the core of the Earth cooled, which would be a while.
Right. Which would be hopefully enough time for Earth to catch orbit of something else.
Hopefully. Well, all right. So leading into this, so I'm talking to them and I'm saying, hey, we've got these microbes that will survive all sorts of conditions, that can survive the rigors of space, can survive the extreme radiation of Jupiter's magnetosphere, can survive intense high temperatures, low temperatures, pressures.
Are you talking about water bears right now?
Water bears are one of the prime examples. That's everyone's favorite, is the water bear.
Freaking tardigrades love them.
And so therefore I said, you know, if we send a probe up to Europa and we do some drilling and we find out that there is life under the ice, how do we know we were able to sterilize that probe completely, because we probably couldn't. And what if we accidentally introduced some microorganism from Earth into the waters of Europa? And what if somehow our microorganisms were more robust than theirs and wound up poisoning their ecosystem, wound up destroying life there, contaminating the moon of Europa? We would have destroyed an entire ecosystem before we even got a chance to really know what was there. And it would be a tragedy. So there's a lot more preparation that needs to go into it like that before then. So we have a habit of destroying new worlds that we come to which one of the kids took the hint and went, yeah, like the Indians. I said, exactly. Hey, speaking of Columbus Day. So we were then having the conversation of, yeah.
So, okay, just real quick question. Yeah. In your book, if we find microbes on another celestial body that have never been seen on Earth before.
Right.
Do you classify those as aliens?
Yeah, technically. Yes, it's alien life. It has to be. If it's life that we believe did not originate on Earth, which, let's see, if we find life on Mars, then we have to be very careful or find signs that there was once life on Mars. We have to be very careful because it's still possible that we have chunks of Mars that have landed on Earth and vice versa. There will be chunks of Earth that have been knocked off and landed on Mars by various impacts. And so therefore it's possible that life could have been carried from one to the other, but to Europa, probably not. So if we find something on Europa, we can be pretty certain that that did not originate on Earth and thus would be very legitimately an alien life form. But so the conversation now has bled over to Native Americans and the idea that, you know, the Vikings came over here early on and then Europeans visited later with Columbus and others. And by the time we were ready to start colonizing this new world, the Europeans at least were ready to start colonizing this new world, something like 90% of the people that were here were dead. And so therefore we show up and here's this beautiful land that looks like it's just ready for people to move in. And yet there's no one here. It's like a paradise. It looks ready to move in because the previous owners just died. That's why.
Bang, bang, house for sale.
Exactly. So my kids are then asking about, the diseases of that time. And I mentioned, you know, measles, obviously,
smallpox
and black plague. And
the plague wasn't really an American thing, though, was it?
I don't think the Black Plague showed up here, but I was using it as a comparison because the Black Plague did, in its first pass through Europe, did kill 90% of Europe.
Hey, that helped with our overpopulation, though, right?
It actually did, and it led to the urbanization of Europe, and it led to all sorts of other things. It led to the end of the medieval system because now suddenly the serfs were in high demand and could demand more for their labor, etc.
Why can't we have a plague nowadays?
Oh God, you know, pray every day, right?
Yeah.
So
plague every day.
So and so this then led to, okay, so what happened to the Black Plague? I mean, did it just go away? And I said, no, we still have the plague. That's the best part. You can get it from like squirrels and stuff.
Oh yeah. Did you hear?
Huh.
There's been a huge resurgence of it in national parks, actually.
Right. And okay, but here's the thing that the kids didn't know, but I did.
We have medicine for it now?
Right. Is the reason the plague is not a real problem anymore is because of penicillin. Like, you know, here's this thing that wiped out 90% of Europe. And, oh, yeah, well, you know what? We've got amoxicillin. It's fine.
We've got mushrooms. It's okay.
Right. So, so I just thought that was a fascinating conversation that we had, this chain that started from, hey, let's go out and watch the stars, all the way up to, no, don't worry, penicillin cures the plague. And we had this whole interesting in-between back and forth that was just really, really fun. So, all right, let's see, what else is on my list? I've got, all right, you know what? I'm going to do this one because Aiden asked about it last time. I was looking up.
Oh, yeah.
Dissociative identity disorder. And dissociative identity disorder, or what was previously known as multiple personality disorder. And true dissociative identity disorder does involve actually having at least two personalities that manifest at different times, and that in general one personality has a complete blackout and does not remember anything that happens while other personalities are in control I mean, it's your very classic, you know, what you see on TV and movies as multiple personality disorder. That's the definition of it. And I had seen something where, it was a YouTube video where someone did a video called Meet My Alters. And I didn't actually watch the video, but I thought about it because I thought, oh, that would be interesting to actually meet the alternate identities of someone with multiple personality disorder in this age of YouTube. Yeah, so there's got to be people out there, and they're making their recordings, and so okay, I get that. And so I thought, you know what, I will go out and I'll take a look at this video because I had just seen it, you know, listed in the recommended section on the side. And I had passed by it, so I thought, okay, I'll go look. So I did a search for it, and it turns out that there's hundreds of people out there doing this.
It's an entire subgenre.
Oh, hundreds of people. And I thought to myself, there can't be this many people with dissociative identity disorder. There can't be. I mean, or maybe there are, but there can't be this many that are in control of it enough, cognizant enough to be making YouTube videos. And of the ones who could be making YouTube videos, there can't be this many who are so willing to be open and forthright with it and actually put it out there for everyone to take a look at their mental illness.
My problem is for those people who have like 20 of them, how do you get 20 distinct people to all agree to make the same video?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing is, and once I saw that there was this big list of them, I haven't watched any of them because I don't have, I'm guessing that if I watched one of those videos, I'm guessing I'm more than likely to hit one that's probably faked. And therefore, I don't want to wade through them and try and use my amateur deductive skills to figure out who's a real multiple personality and who's not and who's, I don't want to. So I didn't watch any of them. But it got me curious as to, okay, as I'm looking at this vast number of videos and thinking to myself, there can't possibly be this many. But then I thought, okay, how many are there? Because there's got to be stats on this, right? And so I go out and I look, and the number that is held up most often is that 1 to 3% of the population of America, 1 to 3%, has true dissociative identity disorder. That means that, okay, let's take the average of that and say 2%. That means I live in a town of 30,000 people. 30,000 people. So that would mean that there are 600 people in this town with true dissociative identity disorder. 600 people in my little town have true multiple personalities. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I really don't. I can't. Because, all right, because if you look at the numbers for gay, bi, trans, et cetera, and the gay and lesbian population of this country, who identify solely as gay or lesbian is right around 2%, just under 2%. All right. So you're telling me there's as many people with dissociative identity disorder as there are people who are gay. Now, if you include in bi is about an equal number of people. So bisexual, people who identify as bisexual is about equal to the number of people who identify as gay. So grand total, we're up to about 3.5%.
Even worse, some of those gays have dissociative.
Oh, just stop. You're not helping me here. And just to throw in on top of that, the number of trans people in this country is estimated to be 0.3%. So 3 in every 1,000, 1 in every 300, 350 people is trans or identifies as trans. Now, those numbers seem reasonable to me for gay, bi, trans. I get that. But dissociative identity disorder, like I say, their best estimates from most of their, and now these are all sites from, you know, people who are involved in support groups for dissociative identity disorder. This is all people who have a vested interest in finding dissociative identity disorder.
So those stats might be just a little skewed.
I'm thinking inflated. I'm thinking way inflated. I mean, look, at the most conservative, I finally found some more scientific surveys and studies of the of the population, and they estimated it at potentially, you know, 0.5% to 1%, but definitely under a percent.
So, but yeah, like with that,
so, but even
one,
then,
with that 1 to 3, maybe they just added the word percent.
I get, you know, even though at a 0.5%, 1 in 500 people has true dissociative identity disorder. I mean, maybe I'm ignorant. That still seems a little high to me. That still seems
maybe they just think they nap a lot.
I don't. Oh, I like I say, maybe I'm ignorant. I know 2%, 3% is way out of the realm of reality. The idea that there's more multiple personality people. Oh wait, unless they count each personality as a separate person.
Oh,
in
my
which
God.
Case, no. Okay, that's me making fun of a person's mental illness, and that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I know I just did. I'm apologizing
that's
for
like
it.
Making fun of someone for being ginger.
If any of my listeners do have dissociative identity disorder and you feel that I'm disrespecting you, I really would love to hear from you on this because
all of you actually.
This don't because look, if someone truly does have this condition, I don't want to make fun of them. But again, I suppose at this point I just noted that in my opinion, most of the ones on YouTube are a bunch of fakers. Most of the ones who are willing to come forward and make videos and do this. So it's potential that I'm really just inviting people to bring their made-up illnesses to me. I don't know.
You start a flame war.
I don't want to do any of that. No.
Well, you just did.
I just found the numbers really, really weird. That's all I'm saying.
Now you're about to get real famous for being that dick who calls people fakers.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What's the perfect age for a baby? At what age is a baby the most fun, in your opinion?
3.
3? So a toddler.
Yes.
How come?
Because it can walk and, you know, not be a total dumbass about it. It can make actual decisions.
Okay. Because I was just...
Should I put this thing in my mouth? Maybe. Let's think about it.
We were looking at baby pictures. I think it was Yancey was showing me pictures of like a niece or a nephew or something like this. And I realized that I like babies through most ages. I mean, babies, toddlers, small children, older children, they all have their pluses and minuses. But I'm going to tell you, I think the perfect age for a baby, one of the best ones, is right when they're holding their head up. You can put them on the blanket, they'll lay on their tummy, they'll lift their head up, they'll look around, they'll grab stuff, but they haven't quite mastered crawling yet. All right? And I like that because there's a whole sense of wonder and exploration, and they want to grab everything and maybe even roll over a little bit, and they want to do all this stuff. But while they're interesting and entertaining, they're also not going to wander away and start sticking their fingers into outlets. And, I mean, like, if you put them on the blanket in the middle of the room, you can be pretty assured that while you sit on the couch and check a couple of texts, when you look up, they're still on the blanket in the middle of the room. Oh, that's a nice safe age. I like that.
And then you go out with your date and come back 8 hours later, and you can be pretty sure that it'll be on the blanket in the middle of the room.
Right, look, and especially if you set up, like, roll up some other blankets and lay them around the edges as a barrier, so just in case... just in case she starts to roll over or something... Yeah, she'll get stopped at that blanket at the edge. She's not getting past that. So, yeah, you want to spend – I mean, I wouldn't spend all night, but if you're going to spend 5-6 hours at the club, once you come home, baby, still right there in the middle of the floor. Probably.
Is that how Snooki parents?
Probably. I don't know enough about Snooki to judge her, so I'm not going to. I don't know. I just really like that
that's
age.
Really
but
old
then,
joke, and I'm sorry.
But then you should be. But then I think about it, and I'm like, yeah, but you know what? There's so many advantages to every age. They're doing something interesting and new. And now, one of the best things about babies is the ones that aren't mine. Oh, I mean, I love you guys. You guys are the best. Awesome. But did you know that there are babies out there that you can visit and you can hold and play with and do all the fun stuff
with absolutely no responsibility?
Then just give them back. Wow. I mean, I'm not saying I want you to go out and make me some grandkids right now, but when I do get to be a grandpa, it's going to be the best. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. What's wrong with 13-year-olds, Dad?
All right. 13-year-olds, See, here's the thing. My 13-year-old is... All right. Let me just... Straight up, I will let you know that 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, all of them...
Are the worst.
Assholes. Every one of them. All right? And yes, I include Eli in that. I would tell it to his face if he was here. Yes, 13 and 14-year-olds, when they're in junior high, they're all assholes. That's just how it works.
Except, they just, you know, my entire class just stayed that way.
They can't help it. Their eyes start rolling into their head. They start with the heavy sighs and the, ugh, and everything you do is stupid. And right, I get that. But on the other hand, at the same time that Eli is getting this, and Eli is a relatively good kid. I mean, he's a hard worker and a conscientious kid. He's got a lot of great things going for him, but yes, he does have this whole eye rolling, frustrated with his parents, surly teenager attitude going on, because that's what teenagers do. But on the other hand, he also is capable of grasping much more sophisticated concepts. 13, 14 is when they're moving past the concrete, ideation stage. That's not the right word. But moving on to more abstract thought. And so, you know, Eli has got, interests in the wider world, and he's looking into new topics, and he has a real thing for having political discussions lately. And he likes just knowing things and being right about them, but then also is willing to listen and learn and loves being part of any political conversation, stuff about social issues. So, you know, there's a lot of advantages to 13 as well, despite the fact that, yeah, okay, he's a surly teenager. He's going to be an asshole. That's what happens in junior high. That's just part of the game. But man, there's so many cool things too. So, I think once they hit 18, 19, that's when I'm about done with them. That's when I got no use for you guys anymore. Seriously. All right. He has no comment. All right. I guess at 18, 19, you make a good podcast host. So,
yes.
So there you go. There's your one advantage to being Aiden. All right. You got anything?
Whoa. You just kind of threw me under the bus at the end there.
Yeah, kind of.
You had a general statement, and then you just threw me under the bus.
Okay. Have you ever seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No.
Oh. Do you know why Fast Times at Ridgemont High is important as a movie?
No.
You know nothing. Oh, man. Okay.
Is this going to be like Heathers?
I made him watch Heathers. How was Heathers?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was... Because, look, I gave you guys the mini review of Heathers a little while ago and told you I went back and rewatched it, and it really doesn't hold up, and it's really kind of lame. And then I thought to myself, you know what? But maybe if I watched it with someone with new eyes, or I watched it with someone who could just, you know, make fun of it with me as we went along, maybe we'd have a lot more fun with it. And so I made Aiden watch it because Heathers came up in conversation. I'm like, you've never seen Heathers. Oh, we have to do this. And so I forced him to watch with me. And as it turns out, no, it just sucks. Heathers is just not a good movie. I mean, we did in fact make fun of it throughout, but he predicted half the movie before it ever happened. Knew what was coming, was not shocked or surprised or titillated at all by any of the goings on. The movie telegraphed itself way ahead of time on stuff.
And there wasn't even, like, good nudity.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the reason Fast Times at Ridgemont High was relevant in my day is...
Back in my day!
Well, it was a movie that came out in the early 80s. So it, like, came out in 82... And so I wouldn't have seen it until I was a little bit older than that. But when it came out, it was showing the lives of high school kids in a way that had not been shown before. And it dealt with issues like abortion and sex working your first crappy job and just all sorts of, you know, dealing with school, dealing with – there was a lot of things in it. And it was considered revolutionary at the time. And it made a lot of stars, most of whom you wouldn't recognize the names of anymore. But
really, try me.
Judge Reinhold.
Okay, never mind.
Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Nope.
Okay, Jennifer Jason Leigh was the woman that Kurt Russell was transporting in Hateful Eight.
The really old one?
The old ugly one? Yeah, that was Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Was she attractive in that movie?
Yes, in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, she was a hot 16-year-old virgin who loses her virginity in the movie. So, So times have changed, is what I'm saying.
How does it feel to know that movie stars from your time are old and gross now?
It's pretty par for the course, man. Sean Penn. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, I know Sean Penn.
Okay, Sean Penn played Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where he was basically just a stoner. He was Bill and Ted before Bill and Ted were Bill and Ted. So that was
Bill and Ted.
Right, if you say it into a mirror three times, Bloody Mary appears. So
you say it enough times, you get really high.
So anyway, the most important thing about Fast Times at Ridgemont High when I was 15 years old, which is probably when I first saw it, the most important thing was the pool scene. And we all know what I'm talking about with the pool scene.
I know.
You need some explanation.
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. I am going to go find a clip for my son here. Just a second. Okay, so we've just now watched that clip. And it was edited, so we didn't actually get to see the full content. But he gets the gist. It showed the whole clip, so he understands that Judge Reinhold was in the bathroom and it was a fantasy sequence. And okay. So, just the other day, I am looking for an animated GIF of, I'm leading in a game that we're playing, and so I wanted a GIF that said, "You better recognize." And I just wanted recognize. That's all I wanted. And while I'm looking for recognize, all of a sudden, an animated GIF of that clip, that moment of Phoebe Cates emerging from the pool and taking her top off. An animated GIF of that clip shows up. And so as I'm looking at that clip, I realize that, okay, A, I have a lot of nostalgia for that movie because back when I was 15, there was no internet porn, and that was one of the most glorious scenes I had ever seen in my life. I was hypnotized by it. But as I'm looking at an animated GIF that is completely silent, I've now moved on to other stuff, and I'm still looking for the GIF that I'm going to use for the post I want to make. But the music of that scene is playing in my head. That's how ingrained in my psyche that scene is that I'm hearing the movie soundtrack in my head playing over that scene because it stands out so well.
Now, the question is, how many times do you have to watch that scene for you to be able to memorize the music like that?
How many times when I was a kid did I watch that scene? Here's the problem is we didn't have, as a kid, it's not like we rented it. It's not like we had it on tape. It's like you had to watch it when it came on HBO, you know? Or you had to go to the rental store and rent it, and no one's going to go out and rent Fast Times at Ridgemont High just so they can watch that one scene over and over and over again. Although I'm surprised that was
a very specific set of circumstances, Dad.
I'm just saying I'm surprised that the tape that the rental store had wasn't all ruined and fuzzed out at that section from people rewinding and replaying and rewinding and replaying. And
So you did rent it?
No, I did not. That, although we did have Animal House on tape. And Animal House, which you also haven't seen because it's really hard to acquire that movie unless you go buy it.
Is it not on Netflix?
No, it's not.
Not even on, like, Request to Watch?
No, you can rent it from Amazon. And you can buy it, but you can't, otherwise you can't watch it streaming anywhere.
And, well, I'm saying stream, I was just saying from Netflix, but, like that's one of our mailed movies.
Could we get it as a DVD? Maybe. Depends if they have copies on hand. I haven't even looked at that. But the thing about Animal House is it also has a similar scene of, it's just boobs, but there is a similar scene that's very hot in Animal House, or at least it was really hot when I was 15 years old. I don't think I've seen Animal House in 20 years, so I wouldn't even be able to tell you if that scene holds up. I'm assuming the movie does, because it was just a really good movie, but I haven't seen it in a long, long time. So, I can't talk about that one.
Why not?
Darn it.
It's the most eye-catching one. You can't have that on the list and not talk about it. And see, the more we talk about it, the more pissed they're going to be that you didn't talk about it.
Well, it's giving stuff away. So, okay, look. these two topics go together. And I didn't write this down here to talk about it on the podcast. I wrote it down so I would remember to do something about it later. 2017's Deadpool is coming up. Not Deadpool, the Marvel movie character, but the Nerd Pride Radio Deadpool, where we pick people we think are going to die.
Yes, and, Satan worshippers.
And
I'm kidding.
So if you want to get in for the 2017 Deadpool, that's coming up. You need to start planning now because you've only got a couple months left. Start doing your research. Start doing some plans. Get ready to submit 20, 30, 40 names to me by the end of the year. Usually Christmas Eve is when we have them all submitted. And then we run our draft and we get all the names divided up. And then whoever has the most people die or the most points worth of people die during calendar year 2017 is going to win. So Deadpool is coming up. And so I have written, and what caught Aiden's eye is I wrote next to Deadpool, I wrote Stan Lee and Meatloaf. Stan Lee is, they've already filmed his cameos for the next like six Marvel movies. So his cameos are all done. He stopped making convention appearances, or he's going to stop after this next one. Like this year is his last year for doing the convention circuit. So Stan Lee at the age of 92, 93 is officially backing out of public life, and thus is a sign that, hey, maybe the end is near. Maybe he should be on our Deadpool list, which you've now made me completely reveal to everybody. So I'm giving away my strategies. But also,
you realize that he's not going to be worth that much by the time he actually dies.
No, but you know who is? Meatloaf. Meatloaf, who has now twice collapsed on stage. And sadly, the last time he collapsed on stage, he's collapsed with a heart attack and is unconscious on stage and yet never stopped singing. Oh, that had to hurt.
What?
So it means that he wasn't singing. He was lip syncing to a soundtrack. And so therefore he collapses on stage with a heart attack. He's now unconscious on stage and yet the singing is still happening. So,
okay.
So now the audience realizes that they weren't actually watching Meatloaf sing anything.
Is he having heart attacks from too much protein from
all that
meatloaf?
Oh God, you're sad. So I'll
just let myself.
So
out.
There,
okay.
There. Now everybody who listens to this podcast who wants to participate in the Deadpool this year, we've all got Stan Lee and Meatloaf. So you prioritize those as you see fit. All right. Let's see, Clowndemic, Baby Age. Space Elevator. I want to do some more research on Space Elevator.
They've been talking about having a space elevator up in the next 50 years for like the last 100 years.
But Obayashi Corporation of Japan, who actually does, they're a big corporation and they do big construction projects, and Obayashi Construction has said that they plan on having a space elevator operational by the year 2050. And all the major news organizations are taking them seriously as if they're really going to do it. And, you know, look, the whole idea of the space elevator, the saying about it is that, yeah, everyone's going to be laughing about it, right up until the moment that they actually build one. And so while I think, God, that seems ambitious, 2050, do we really think we're going to have a space elevator up by 2050?
Okay, question.
But, you know, this it's got to happen someday.
This might be a dumb question, but where does the space elevator go besides space?
That's it. It goes to space. You tie a line to the equator, which fortunately the equator is a big metal bar that runs around the center of the Earth. And so you just tie a line to that, and then you feed it out like kite string until it gets out to space, and then you tie a counterweight to it so it keeps it taut. So now the centrifugal force of this thing swinging around the Earth is what keeps the line straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just clamp shit to that line and ride it on up. You just crawl up that cable until you get to space.
All right. Well, they have something up there to walk around on.
Yeah, well, there will be a space platform up there. But the whole point is then you can get stuff to space by just climbing up the cable. And then once you're there, launching from there means you don't have to launch from Earth and fight up through our gravity well. You don't have to carry, you don't have to carry 100 extra tons worth of material just to have the fuel to get out. Instead, you can get to the space platform. You just climb up there, and then you need much less fuel to launch from there to get to Moon, Mars, Jupiter, beyond.
Do you realize that we'll become the laughing stock of the galaxy? Aliens will fly, and it's like, look at those dumbasses with a stick coming out their planet.
Well, if we do it right, maybe we'll have like five or six of them. You never know. Space elevator is a really exciting concept. The idea that you can just
ride
the elevator to space. You don't have to be throwing away rockets to do it. That's pretty cool. But again, you know, is it really going to happen? Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. But man, Obayashi's talking about it, so that's kind of cool. I just realized that we're at 50 minutes, and I'm kind of on a time crunch here, so really should move on. Although I do want to finish off by saying I'm up to episode 9 or 10 of Luke Cage. Luke Cage, still awesome. Still recommend. I think I'm going to get through the rest of it in the next couple of days here. Super excited. And I got to tell you, the music is spectacular. Part of it is that the bad guy owns a nightclub in Harlem. And so every single episode you get
to... Spoilers!
You get this in episode 1. But every single episode you get to see live musical acts that are performing in that nightclub. And these live musical acts are all awesome. My absolute favorite, episode 5... This is not even really a spoiler. Episode 5 opens up with Jadena singing Long Live the Chief.
No way.
Oh my God. It's gorgeous. Yeah. See, he knows Long Live the Chief because we've owned it for months. Love Jadena's Long Live the Chief.
We were liking Jadena before
it was cool. That's right. We knew about Jadena before it was cool. Losers. but the whole point is it came up as a song that I know and I love, and the scene it played over, or scenes, it was just really powerful. Love the music in Luke Cage. So there we go. All right, I'm done. That's the end of the fingertips, end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. Instead, I suppose we're going to move into the pod-o-matic. Hot dog, I can't believe both of us sat there and said pod-o-matic and neither one of us bothered to actually grab R2 and get him into position. Isn't that weird? This is the Nerd Pride Radio pod-o-matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out pod-o-matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And
for
where do these
us to talk about.
For me to talk about and Aiden to help a little bit. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about, you want to hear us haver on about something? Just send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, any private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I will add it to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be, and our first number is 45. Hold on. I thought I was being clever, and I got the whole Podomatic list pulled up while I was talking, but it hadn't quite finished loading. So, okay, there we go. Now we're at it. Nope. No, we're not.
Working. Working.
So,
work.
So, okay, maybe we go back to the master list for a little bit while I'm stalling here. God, come on. 45, how tough is this? I am professional. All right, this is from Irish Fan. I found it. Irish Fan says, Spaceballs, the movie. If you do not love this movie, I'm not sure we can become friends, let alone the best friends. And he puts that in quotes. I'm wounded. The best friends that you claim we will be at the end of your casts. What is your favorite scene from the movie? Aiden, do you have a favorite scene from Spaceballs?
When they're reviewing Spaceballs to find out where they're going next.
Yes, that's exactly the scene I was going to say, is the meta scene where they knock down the fourth wall and they watch a copy of Spaceballs to figure out where they're going to find them. I love that. Although, I love Spaceballs. I think Spaceballs is, it's not the greatest Mel Brooks movie, but it's a really good one because it hits on a bunch of movies and genre stuff that I grew up on, especially Star Wars, obviously. But it does a lot of sci-fi stuff that I grew up on and that was really important to me, and thus the humor is just in the right zone for that. I love Spaceballs. Good movie. 06 comes from... And we're not going to be able to do too many of these because I really do have to...
Humongous!
I do have to go. It is from Humongous. Who is your favorite author? Aiden, do you know any author? Authors are people who write books.
I know.
I'm just giving you crap. Who's your favorite author?
Akashio would probably be a good one. They're the authors of Rosario Vampire.
Really?
Or Elizabeth Kay of the Divide series.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you did like the Divide when you were... When did you read Divide?
Oh, 6th grade?
Okay.
Still some of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah, I still have the soft spot in my heart for... for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and the whole Narnia series, because that was sixth grade for me. So, for me, I don't know that I have a favorite author right off. I mean, you know, as much as I'm loving Song of Ice and Fire, George R.R. Martin, is he my favorite author? He's a bit wordy and a bit, I mean, it runs on quite a lot. I am impressed by what he does. I love the story, but I don't necessarily think I'd consider him my favorite author. Greg Bear is a sci-fi author that I really enjoy. He does a lot of high concept stuff that involves the edges of science and physics, and it tries to be physics club. There we go. He tries to be hard science at all times. He tries to make everything as plausible as possible, as grounded in real science as possible, while still exploring what's out there on the very edges. And I always find his work really fascinating. I find Greg Bear very, very compelling. But you know, I've also always had a soft spot for Stephen King. I've been reading Stephen King since I was in grade school.
You're so basic.
I don't care. I like Stephen King. I haven't read most of his new stuff. It's probably his last couple.
It's really hit or miss.
Yeah, I haven't tried most of his new stuff, but I still, you know, I've always been in love with Anne McCaffrey's Dragon Rider series, and I've read all sorts of I think everything Anne McCaffrey's ever written. But you know, Dragon Riders is it's kind of a feel good series in a lot of ways. You know what? Ursula Le Guin, Ursula K. Le Guin, again, hard science, exploring not just
man, that time crunch, huh?
Not just the edge of science, but more. She explores, to me, what's most fascinating about Le Guin's work is when she's exploring the extremes, the edges of human culture and society, and what people can and will become as a result of science, as a result of the future landing on our faces. What does society look like? What can we be? And I find that really fascinating. I'm going to put Le Guin at the top. Darn it. O2 is from Eliahad. Dave, Eliahad says, sprinkles or jimmies? Which word wins out?
Okay, that all depends. Are you putting them on ice cream or are you rustling them? Because if they're on ice cream, they're sprinkles. If you're rustling them, they're jimmies.
Really?
Because my jimmies have been thoroughly rustled by this question.
I have never used the word jimmy in that context. I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't even know that was a thing.
The big controversy with sprinkles is some people call them jimmies.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, no.
So therefore...
It is sprinkles straight up.
Sprinkles.
It's not even a question.
Sprinkles. Since I wasn't aware that there was a controversy, yeah, we're going to have to go that way.
Last one.
89. This will be the last one, and then we'll get into some listener betrayal. 89 is from somebody. Ah, there it is. It's from Daz. Oh, wait. This is, all right, we're going to have to do one more after this. Let me read from Daz here. It says, long time. There's a sniff in there, so I have to sniff. Long time. More Podomatics for you. So,
did you make a typo?
No, I copied the first line as I was copying the list of Podomatics. I must have copied the first line at the top of his email. And so therefore, all right, I guess my response is, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You're awesome. 72 comes from,
click, 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 click,
click, click, click, click. There it is. It comes from Master. Master says, I am a huge Disney fan. Really? I am also a Disney fan, and I think I'm topping out at 280. You huger than that, bro? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Funny, because you're large.
all right, I'm sorry. I am a huge... it's funny because you're so fat.
I didn't want to say it, but thank you.
I'm a huge Disney fan. From their movies to their parks and beyond, I have been to Walt Disney World 17 times and plan to go again as soon as possible. Have you ever been to Walt Disney World? I think I remember hearing you say you have. If you have, what is something you wish was still at Disney that isn't? What?
Hey, Matthew, now that you're a major storm, yeah, what are you going to do?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Hey, Matthew, now that you're a major storm, what are you going to do? I'm going to Disney World!
That's terrible.
It's funny because it's in Florida.
That's not funny at all. You can't make fun of tragedy. Although, I will say that watching the buses and the preparations and people evacuating and actually listening to the recommendations was nice to see. It was good to see organization ahead of a storm, ahead of a tragedy for once. It was really heartwarming. But having said all that, no, I've never been to Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland. I have not been to one of their theme parks. I would probably enjoy it immensely if I did go, but I've never been. Although, I tell you what, if you have not listened to the episode of the Nerdist podcast featuring John Stamos, go back and listen to that.
That guy from Full House?
Yes, John Stamos from Full House, who looks, you would think, he seems a little smarmy. He seems...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. John Stamos, and he discusses it at length in this episode of The Nerdist, John Stamos is a huge Disney fan. He's a Disney nerd. All right, he went out and he bought one of the Dumbo cars off of the Dumbo ride and has it in his yard. Okay, that's how much he loves Disney. He bought, when they were selling off the big Disney sign, he bought the letter D from Disney, the big stylized Disney D, and he bought it, and it turns out, and he claims he bought it by accident. Like, he was just going to start the bidding, and so he put out some massive, you know, $80,000 bid or something like that, assuming that, you know, he was just starting off the bidding and getting the ball rolling. And at the end...
Could you say that Stamos wanted the D?
They made that joke. And so he winds up having this 17-foot-tall letter D that, you know, he loves it, but, you know, what do you do with it? Because you don't want it to be the first thing people see when they come up to their house and think you're that big a dork. And so...
That's what the D stands for!
So he put it in his backyard, along with some... I mean, he's got other things out there, and he has this giant Disney D in his backyard. And little did he realize that as you're coming down the Santa Monica Freeway behind his house,
you can see it perfect, clear as day.
Perfect clear view of the D from the Santa Monica. And so therefore he says, yep, everybody gets to drive by. I go, yep, dork. So anyway, if you haven't listened to that episode of The Nerdist, go listen to it because John Stamos was surprisingly much more interesting and much cooler than I expected him to be.
John Stamos is awesome. Don't you dare.
He did get to some douchey parts. Which he then apologized for because he realized he was being a little douchey. But in general, he was just a really cool guy. He was just a lot of fun to listen to. It was a very interesting, interesting interview. So anyway, you know what? We're all done. That's the end of the Podomatic. So we are going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was just Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want instructions on making your very own pocket mod, just like the one I read my master list off of this week? Go over to pocketmod.com. Get your instructions for printing and folding your own pocket mod for free. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks Versus, The Cast and the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people.
Wait, you're part of a network now?
Yes, I'm part of a network, the Nerd Pride Network, named after me because I'm an egomaniac.
When did you guys, like, unionize? When did this happen?
A couple months ago, so...
I didn't hear about this.
Yes. So, yes, we're now a network because we're that good. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, why aren't you out there spreading the word and let other people enjoy it? Word of mouth, it's my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on Facebook for listener, Facebook and my forums for listener betrayal. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number so that you don't have to listen to lame ones like I did for this week's episode, then send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. You know how I hate work. All right, my contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to get a hold of me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world.
Daz.
Was it Daz or was it Irish fan?
I don't remember. I think it's Irish fan, I don't know.
Whichever one of you dared to question my authenticity on this, we will become best friends in the world, whether you like it or not. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before every podcast I start recording, I go out to Facebook and I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And I post up that, hey, I'm recording. If you want to be part of it, post up. And anything that you guys put on those posts, I will read off right here at the end of the cast. So let's do that. The first one is from Reginald. Hey, Reg. Reg says, hey, Mike, why is DM Dark so awesome? If you could answer in iambic pentameter, that would be preferable. You don't have to, unless you're chicken. P.S. I triple dog dare you. Really? Oh, well, hey, if you think...
Reggie, I love you.
If you think it's funny, why don't you answer in iambic pentameter?
I don't know why DM Darks is awesome. It's not my story to tell.
Right, you do know why DM Darks is awesome, because you've met him. And
oh, yeah.
You're not going to answer, because you don't even know what iambic pentameter is.
My entire senior year of English, we had an entire month of researching iambic pentameter. It is five cycles of emphasized, unemphasized. Don't you dare try to start with me.
All right, go ahead and do it.
It's your question, bruh.
I don't even know if I could answer an iambic pentameter if I had a week to actually research it and write it down.
It's just syllables, bro.
Yeah, I know. I can't do it.
Stressed, unstressed.
I can't do it. I'm too stressed.
Well, I mean, I guess you're chicken.
I am going to call chicken on this one.
You iambic, still have to answer the question, though.
Iambic pentameter. All right, fine. DM Dersh is awesome because, one, he's a great guy. I assume because he's friends with Dave, and I like Dave. Dave wouldn't be friends with an asshole, right? I've met his wife, Sarah Beth, who is also awesome. She wouldn't marry an asshole. Clearly, he must be awesome in some way. I mean, even if I've never seen evidence of it myself, I'm just going to go by their testimonies, really. But in actuality, it turns out that, no, he's a good friend. He's fun to hang out with. And more than anything, he is the best DM in the world, as evidenced by the fact that we're still playing after 3 years, and I just hit 10th level. 3 years in, and I just hit 10th level this week. We all hit 10th level.
You scrubs.
Oh, I love 10th level.
You plebes.
I love 10th level. It's so cool. So DM Darks is awesome for lots and lots of reasons. He's just a cool dude. He's a band teacher. I love band teachers. Yeah. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So
you can also grow a beard like a motherfucker.
Hey, watch your language. We only occasionally use words like that around here.
That's why I said it occasionally.
Ah, man.
It worked with the occasion.
Okay, I guess the problem I have is I like being in control of when that language happens. I don't like it when you use it because then I'm not in control. So you're going to have to stop doing
it. Are you going to bleep me? Are you going to go back and bleep me?
No, because that would take too much effort. I can insert music. Because inserting music is easy. I look for the blank spaces and I just drop the music in. But to bleep you would require that I remember this conversation and then I go find where it was. I'm not going to do any of that. All right. Next up is Talvin. Talvin says, oh, election, kiss, marry, kick. Oh, kiss, marry, kick. All right. Or F, marry, kill. Whichever one works. All right. The 2016 election edition, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson. All right.
Johnson. It's penis.
Oh, hey, no, let's go with kiss, marry, kick, so that A, we don't get rapey with any of the candidates, and B, we're not looking like we're threatening to assassinate any of the candidates. Good point, Talvin.
Kick Trump straight up.
Yeah, Trump gets kicked, obviously. And now I've got the choice between, see, here's the thing, is one, who do you want to have, your moment of...
I guess, okay. Okay, I got it. I
know a brief moment of passion with versus who you're going to live with forever.
I know what I'm doing.
Go ahead.
I'd do it with Hillary just to get it over with. And then I'd marry Johnson because he's like Cthulhu, the lesser of the evils.
Oh, man. I don't know. I would probably go the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd marry Hillary?
Yeah, I think I would. She's a very competent and professional woman. I think Gary Johnson, may be more of a, I don't think he's quite as good at what he does. And Hillary also.
He doesn't need to be good at what he does. He just needs to be a good husband.
Hillary has shown that she's willing to tolerate whatever my eccentricities are and put on a good face. So.
And according to Hillary's America, help you with them and orchestrate them.
Exactly my point. So, also according to Trump now. So. Man, that was a tough one. All right, next is from Kaz. How often and how many boxes of cereal does your house go through? My two kids can eat an entire family-sized box of Cheerios today. I was just at Costco, and you should see the album I just posted to Facebook. We know you enjoy a good... okay. So first, let's answer the first question. Cereal,
I am the only one in this house who eats cereal on a daily basis.
Right. We usually have three different types of cereal available.
Oh, by the way, we need more Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. Because we have three of the big plastic containers that we fill up with whatever type of cereal. And so usually one of them will be, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. One of them will be Frosted Flakes or something like that. It sometimes changes.
Yeah, it's usually the off-brand.
Sometimes
he's cheap.
Sometimes it's Corn Pops. Sometimes it's but
ooh, Corn Pops.
Yeah, see, Corn Pops are good. Although Corn Pops you can't actually put in that container because sunlight causes them to get sticky. The third one will be something on the order of Trix or Fruit Loops or Lucky Charms or Crunch Berries.
Fruity.
So, yeah. And it depends. Every once in a while, my wife goes on a kick where she'll have Frosted Mini Wheats in there, and she'll go through a bowl of Frosted Mini Wheats every day for like 3 weeks. And then other times where she hasn't touched cereal for like 2 months now. She goes through cycles.
Same
thing with the little kids. They'll go through, you know, a kick where they're doing cereal every day for 2 weeks, and then they won't touch it for months.
I eat it on the reg.
Yeah, whereas... As Aiden eats it on the reg. So, we will get.
Are you making fun of me?
Yes. Okay. So we will get three boxes of cereal at all times. We have three, and we probably only replace like one new box of cereal every month or two. So it's not often.
I mean, the question in our house is really how much cereal can a hungry college student eat?
Right. Well, it also depends on how much other food is in the house.
Right.
So.
I mean, recently it's been pretty good because we have muffins and dude.
All right. We know you enjoy a good cheese Frenchie. Now tell us which is better, thick burgers or smashed burgers?
Thick.
Thick.
Straight up. Give me that meat.
Look, in fact, with any meat or, for that matter, grilled cheese, if you're putting something on the grill and cooking it up, the more you smush it, the more you flatten it out with the back of your spat, the more you're just squeezing the good juices out of it.
Did you hear?
So
did you hear McDonald's is a you know those little kids double cheeseburgers, right?
Yeah.
You can get them in quintuple burgers now.
Nice. I don't know why, but okay. I just like options. Lastly, spread the word about Protospiel. This is the event coming up in Madison. Okay.
Madison, Nebraska?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh.
I know. Good try. Protospiel. Oh, there it is. Protospiel in Madison, Friday, October 21st through Sunday, October 23rd in Madison, Wisconsin. Protospiel is an awesome, game design convention. There it is. With a cool promo video I'm not watching. But if you're a game designer, Looking to get professional level feedback from other designers. There is no better place to get that feedback.
And there's tons of tell me more.
And tell me more. And look, if you want to get in as a designer, all right, so you want to actually bring your own stuff, I'm assuming, you can get the 3-day badge for $50. But if you want to come in as a playtester and just get to check out cool new games that people are working on, which sounds super awesome, you can get a 3-day playtester badge for $10. Wow. Or if you're a member of the press, can I qualify as press if I have my own podcast? I can get in for free.
No, dude, look. All you got to do is walk in with me in a fedora and a flannel and a good camera.
There you go.
And we can get in wherever we want.
So anyway, Protospiel in Madison, October 21st through October 23rd. So that's in 2 weeks there. Was that good enough to promote? I think I did it. I'm good. All right. Next up is... Wait, where was I? Oh, I have to hit the back button. That's how the internet works. I know these things.
You're an IT guy, aren't you?
All right, I'm going to turn this one over to you. This is from Ronster. What is your favorite and least favorite internet meme?
Oh my gosh, you have come to the right meme lord, my friend. See, it all depends on what kind of memes you're talking about. Because you've got old school memes such as Pepe, and then you got new class memes like Harambe. And, okay, my favorite old school meme would probably be either Trumpet Skeleton or Pepe.
Okay.
And my favorite new school meme would be probably Harambe, just because Dick's out for Harambe.
All right. And least favorite?
Least favorite meme would be the frickin' either MLG videos, because those just get annoying after a while, or... I don't care if you're doing it ironically or not, prank videos.
Okay. I didn't follow any of that because I don't know anything about Pokemon, but I will tell you that my favorite meme, and this will show you how fuddy-duddy old dad I am.
Ow.
My favorite memes lately have been, and I know they're old, but I still like them when I can find a new one, is Walking Dead dad joke memes.
That's not a bad one.
I like those a lot. And my least favorite memes are any memes that use real people who weren't already celebrities, because they tend to be really mean. And I know some people have embraced their internet celebrity through that, but the idea that you're going to take a picture that, you know, may have just been a bad picture of a person on a bad day, or it may be what they thought was their greatest
picture.
And you're going to use that to make fun of them over and over and over and over. I find those a little cruel.
Quickly, speaking of memes,
so
Smash Bros. Has come out with a few new characters.
All right. So
there's Donald Trump and Harambe and Sonic. You can play as Donald Trump.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to leave that aside because we're running out of time. Also from Ronster, have you ever made any of your own memes using the various meme generators? If so, which meme was it? If not, what kind of father are you?
Why don't we go and call Jacob and ask him to relive his Rage Comic days?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Jacob has. I've never used a meme generator, but I have, for example, I created, in fact, I've created exactly one. And it was a picture of my own hand, one with my dice spinner ring and one without the dice spinner ring. And without it, you can see the obvious tan lines from where I've removed the ring. And then the caption under it is married to the game.
Can you pause real quick while I find something?
Yeah, I can try. Hold on. We don't want to cut off right in the middle of this awesome train noise. All right, whatever it was, he couldn't find it. So next up is Ronster again. If Captain America married Wonder Woman and they had twins... one of each gender, would they be American Woman and Captain Wonder or some variant? And what do you think their superpowers would be?
Captain Wonder sounds like a promoted Stevie Wonder, and I can't get behind that.
That's right. When Stevie Wonder was a member of the Air National Guard, he did make it as far as captain. Anyway, if Captain America married Wonder Woman... first off, look, he's Marvel, she's DC, it's a very Romeo and Juliet sort of scenario.
I don't think Captain America can even pass on his
powers. Genetically, he's a wimp. So, really all of their powers would come from their mom. And is she even capable of having a son? I mean, she comes from an island of all women.
No. Her people are born from Zeus and Stardust.
Okay. So, let's assume that they did have twins.
I don't even think she's capable of having children, period.
Boy, this is a rough one. They're certainly not going to go with those dumb names. Although when you tell me a cross between Captain America and Wonder Woman, all I can think of is, the original cartoon, The Tick, and one of the heroes there was American Made. That was the cross between Wonder Woman and Captain America, was American Made, and she was really funny. Who then became Captain Liberty when they moved to live action in the, what was his name? Patrick Warburton. In the Patrick Warburton live action Tick, it was Captain Liberty, and she was awesome as well. So what do you think their superpowers would be? They'd be very strong. I mean, it's not going to be beyond
those things Wonder Woman can do.
Right. Cause the things Captain America can do, Wonder Woman can do, but a lot better. So they'll be like Wonder Woman, but you know,
without the tools.
Right. I was just going to say without the bracers and the lasso and the invisible jet and all that stuff. Where in Greek myth do you come up with the invisible jet? I don't remember that part.
Zeus and Stardust.
I guess. The next one's from Ronster. Ronster says, Mike, what's the soup of the day? It's soup in a truck.
No. It's a what's his face? What from South Park? His parents.
Oh yeah. No, it's actually Mr. and Mrs. Tenderman Chili.
That's it.
There you go. No, it's soup in a truck. I think most of you can see that. So anyway, I'm sorry for being obscure. That's a paranoia reference. Ronster then says, Mike, we all love Nerd Pride Radio. Please make it possible to fund it with a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter so that you can have a new microphone or two even.
That's not a bad idea.
Really?
Actually.
There's no pressure, but seeing as how you've kept going strong through two summers long, you deserve some sort of recompense. Do it for Aiden. Please.
See, dude, that's actually not a bad idea. Just set up a...
I told you guys last time.
Like a Patreon, dude.
If you want to do something for this podcast, go buy popcorn from my kids. I am going to... I just got the numbers for the online ordering, and I will post up numbers so that you can order popcorn online from my Boy Scout and Cub Scout, and they will get credit for it that goes back to their troop, their local pack.
Someone has offered to give you money to better your podcast, and you turned them down?
Yeah, people have offered before, but I'm not interested right now.
I'm just saying you could buy a new mic for me so I could be heard.
Maybe I'll give me a new mic for Christmas. We'll see. So, but yes, I will this time. I will post up on the forums and on Facebook. I'll post up the numbers so that if you guys want to buy popcorn from my kids, you will have that option, and that will be one way that you can support Nerd Pride Radio is by buying popcorn. It is actually very beneficial for our local scout troop and scout pack. So scout unit, let's just call it that. So that's it for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds.
Why don't you record on Mondays? You seem to get better responses then.
It's all Ron.
So?
On Facebook, Nelly starts off, and Nelly says, what's new with you? Not much. Hanging out. We went camping this weekend. Been kind of busy, obviously, but you know, it's Indigenous Peoples Day, so I've got some time to record here. How do you feel about work Christmas parties? Yay or nay?
Nay.
Yeah, usually I'm not that thrilled, although...
I was the only one at my Christmas party that could not drink.
The Christmas party that my wife used to have at the school...
That you sang Ice Ice Baby at every year?
Right. It used to be... at a local restaurant that had karaoke, and so it was a karaoke party every year for the Christmas party. I loved that because I would go sing Ice Ice Baby. But in general, I'm not a big fan, but they can be good. It depends on your community, I suppose. But then Ron says, Mike, holy whack-a-mole, it's good to see you on my Facebook timeline. Please sing or read this in your best voice.
Oh.
What did you think I would do at this moment when you're standing before me with tears in your eyes trying to tell me that you found you another And you just don't love me no more. I love that song. I really love that song.
I don't know that song.
Oh, if it was sang by someone with a better voice than me, it's really moving. It's power. At the time that it came out, it seemed really kind of cliche, and it was just a song that you heard a lot and you didn't think much of it. But go back and check it out, and there's a lot of emotion behind that song. I mean, he is into it. It's really cool. Next from Ron. Mike, have you seen the deleted scene from The Empire Strikes Back with C-3PO in the ice caverns on Hoth? No. If so, do you think they made the right choice to cut it from the movie? I have no idea, and again, I'm late. I'm really late. I have to go now. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to answer that question because I can't go watch it. Sorry. But then Ron says, Mike, what is your favorite theme park to visit? Your kids' favorite theme park to visit? Theme park. We don't go to theme parks that often. We've been to Worlds of Fun. We've been to Adventureland in Iowa. What theme parks have you been to?
Can't think of the name.
Yeah, there's nothing.
SeaWorld, that's it.
Yeah, so we've been to SeaWorld. Oh, we went to Six Flags.
So, see, the Batman ride is great because it shoots your parents.
That's terrible. Ron says, in your Rise of the Rune Lords campaign, GM'd by the awesome DM Darks, suppose for a moment that the party has fractured in their loyalties to one another. How will they be divided, and what kind of force, external or internal, could cause it?
Dothan and the Halfling are going off on their own. For sure.
If we become divided in our loyalties, it will be a lawful, chaotic divide. That it will be over something where one side wants to obey the law and the other side says, yeah, screw the law. We can't do it just because the law says to. We have to do what's right. And that would be the divide. And it would probably be caused by Jeff Hawes returning. That would be probably because, that was the last time we had big conflicts like that. And then after Jeff left, they stopped. I don't think he was the cause of them. I think it's just coincidence. I think we just finally got in the groove of where we were going. But I'm just going to blame it all on Jeff because it's easy. And he's not here to defend himself. Oh, wait, crap. He probably listens to this podcast. Damn it. All right, I take it all back. Sorry about that,
Jeff.
I'm just – yeah, no. We had actually some disagreements like that in the beginning. Like the kind of time I cut the guy's throat and things like that. But
Dothan can do damage.
Yeah, it happens. But we actually, I think the conflicts that we had between characters early on were mostly due to us just not having quite gotten into the groove of where this group and this campaign were going. Although we just had a recent one where the halfling went off to be by himself for a while and he disappeared. When he came back, he got chewed out by our ranger and they got into a little spat about it. But that wasn't anything close to dividing our loyalties, but we still argue over stuff. So, all right. Ron says, please compliment each of your family members as extended as you like about one specific thing each. Oh, man. All right.
Man, Aiden, you're really good at them vidgy games.
Aiden, I appreciate the level of independence you've shown recently and how well you're doing in school and how responsible you are at paying for your own stuff. I think you've really grown up in the last 6 months and I'm very impressed by that. So there you go. That's it. He's the only one that's here. I'm telling you, I'm late. I'm already, at this point, I'm going to be 5 minutes late to where I'm going. And the more I talk, the later I'm going to get. So, I have to get up to school. I have to go help your mom because I have to pick her up. I took the car today since it was Indigenous Peoples Day and I had the day off. The van had a leaky tire. There was a nail in it. So I needed to get that in and get it patched. But now I need to go pick her up from school and I'm going to be late to do it. So, I'll compliment the rest of them some other day. And then Ron says,
I'm the only one he loves.
Ron says, if you want me to post one more, please type done. All right. And that's followed by me typing finished, no longer accepting posts. Take that. Which is then followed by Sarah Beth posting up, darn, I need advice. Oh, yeah, too late. I'm no longer accepting posts. I wish I was.
You know, here, you know, here where you can ask for advice? sign up for his forums and private message him.
That's true. You could sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. God, I can't believe I had to actually think about it. Sign up for my forums. Send me a private message. We'll hang out together. I'll give you awesome advice, and we'll become best friends in the world. So that's the way these things work. And that's it. We're all finished. So thank you guys for showing up. I love all of you. It has been awesome. And I will be back next week, one presumes. And we'll have a good time then. So say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight, Aiden.
Say goodnight, R2.